This is going to be an interesting way to start the weekend. And if you find this to be as interesting as I think you will, please feel free to share this one around. Cardinal Gerhard Mueller has released a letter this week to the public that went unnoticed in America, which is astonishing, though that is partly due to it being published in German. This letter addresses the appearance of the Church having two popes, an active pope in Francis and an emeritus pope in Benedict XVI, which is an unprecedented situation in Church history. Now, I know some will say that popes have left the papacy before, and while true, they never adopted the title of emeritus pope, donned papal garb, and continued to live in the papal palace, as well as having audiences with newly minted bishops and cardinals like a reigning supreme pontiff would. This has caused a lot of confusion, and many either angrily say that Benedict should remain silent, live in a monastery somewhere, and just otherwise disappear, or, on the flip side, that he is the real pope. Either way, this is not a good state for the Church to be in, and Cardinal Mueller has weighed in, which is by itself rather extraordinary. The letter is long and a bit complicated, made so by it being in German. I have some good excerpts here with a bit of commentary and clarification. A link to the full text is in the show notes at returntotradition.org, preserved there for all posterity. Have a look there after this podcast episode is over. This is definitely an unusual letter for a cardinal to write to the Catholic world. On to the letter and its contents. Mueller begins this way, quote, "With the stepping down of Benedict XVI from the exercise of the Petrian ministry from the 28th of February 2013, and because of Pope Francis ascending the throne of Peter on March 13th of the same year, a completely new situation, hitherto unknown and unthinkable, arose in the history of the papacy and the Church. To date, we lack the adequate form of thought and language to remove, on the one hand, from the ecclesiological point of view, the heretical idea of a double summit, as when we speak of two popes, and on the other, to be equal to the fact that, according to the current linguistic usage, there is now a quote-unquote bishop emeritus and pope of Rome, who, however, no longer holds the Petrine ministry. The problem for the truth of faith arises from the fact that the bishop of Rome, as successor of Peter, is the principle of unity, which in fact it must be done by only one person, since the exercise of full papal power depends on its possession. The distinction between the stepping away from the office and its exercise is superfluous, since in reality only one pope can exist. Consequently, also the terminological distinction between a pope in office and an emeritus, or between the active holder of the Roman primacy and the passive participant, is of little help in this." End quote. Mueller then goes on to reject the notion that the Church can have an emeritus pope like an emeritus diocesan bishop because the papacy is unique, being as the holder of the papacy is the successor of Peter. Mueller has written about this before, apparently in a 2017 German journal article, which will please those of you who hold to the idea that Benedict is the real pope, though that really isn't what Mueller is driving at here. But Mueller continues after expounding upon the confusion wrought in the Church by this strange status quo. He then points out something that will add fuel to the fire, so to speak. He says that only the legitimate pope is protected by the grace of infallibility. Quote, "The bishop of Rome is the successor of Peter, only as long as he is alive or until he has voluntarily left office. The episcopal function of teaching, guiding, and sanctification are essentially contained in the sacrament of consecration, while the charism of infallibility ex cathedra in rebus fidei et mormand jurisdictional primacy belong to the legitimate pope, since there is no sacramental consecration of the pope, only as long as he is in office. With the voluntary renunciation of the office, the papal prerogatives or full Petrine powers also definitively lapse. The consequence was drawn too quickly from the complex figure of the bishop emeritus of New York or Chicago to a possible emeritus pope, because the title of pope concerns only the habitual designation of the bishop of Rome, due to his prerogatives as successor of Peter. But every bishop of Rome is a successor of Peter only for that time in which he is the current bishop of Rome. He is not the successor of his predecessor, and for this reason, two bishops of Rome, popes and successors of Peter, can never exist at the same time. De facto or de jure mere ecclesiastico, it is even possible to embrace a perspective in which the statics of the ius divinum, of the divine constitution of the Church, or even of the teaching of the faith de fide divina ex catholica may seem to waver." End quote. Mueller then goes on to say, part of this confusion is due to this age of mass communications that we live in, that the opinion makers of the world and the various outlets feed into this confusion by constantly telling us about the things Benedict does, or in some strange antagonism between Benedict and Francis might be existing, if it exists at all. Quote, in the lay and ecclesiastical visual outlets, with the visual image of two popes side by side, the subtle problem of comparing the pontificates of two living people has arisen. And here, unfortunately, it must not escape the fact that in the era of secularized thought and mass communication, worldly ideological points of view end up contaminating theological judgment. That is the way of seeing the faith of the supernatural mission of the Church. At the extreme, the principles of Catholic theology are suspected of some worldly ideology, depending on the point of interest. The passive evaluation of one or the other pontificate are reciprocally opposed at the expense of the opposing party. The evidence of this harmful antagonism of the pontificates of two living actors of current history are legion, and are reflected daily in the comments of newspapers, blogs, related web pages, and videos. For the people of God, it is of true spiritual and theological interest not what distinguishes the previous pope from the current one in personal style, but what unites Benedict XVI and Pope Francis in their concern for the Church of Christ. Both the dignity of the Petrine ministry that a previous pope held and the recognition of his merits for the Church are at stake, which are to be incorporated into the reflections of its ecclesiastical position. Furthermore, the white cassock or the fact of calling him Holy Father, as well as the granting of the apostolic blessing, are not central features. It is the definition of the office of the Bishop of Rome which is inextricably linked to the succession of Peter, together with the Petrine magisterium, primacy of teaching and jurisdiction. The proposal to welcome the previous pope back to the College of Cardinals does not really come close to the central problem, because the point is the relationship between the office of the Roman bishop and his Petrine prerogatives. But to what local church is his episcopal dignity related, as diocesan or titular bishop, if it cannot be the Church of Rome? One could imagine it becoming a problem. End quote. Mueller then goes on to describe how he is able to appreciate Benedict's theology and even to understand Francis's theology in light of the hermeneutic of continuity. He gives a testimony of how everything should be seen in the light of the hermeneutic of continuity, which is where he loses me, frankly, though that doesn't matter at all. He then says this, which should shake much of the Church. Quote, for the image the Church transmits today of herself to the world, a profound reflection on the doctrine of the institution, perpetuity of the value and nature of the sacred primacy of the Roman pontiff and of his infallible magisterium, see Lumen Gentium, chapter 18, it is obviously clear that the living foundation and the ever-present founder of the Church did not choose the Galilean fisherman Simon as the first apostle and as Peter Rock to give him a platform for self-realization or to procure income and bread for the court apparatus, but to make him become the servant of the servants of God who renounces himself. Thus, the Holy Pope Gregory the Great, in about 604, described the singular role of the Roman pontiff in contrast with the idea of prestige of the then Patriarch of Constantinople, who within a center of power wanted to make a reciprocal relationship of the bishops a kind of tug of war to obtain positions of authority rather than placing concern for eternal salvation at the center of the common work in the apostolic service. We only mention the classification in parentheses from the dogmatic point of view very questionable. Of the characteristics of the Petrine ministry as mere historical titles as they are now listed in the most recent publication of the Pontifical Yearbook. Humility is a personal virtue which befits every servant of Christ very well, but it does not justify a sort of relativization of the full powers that Christ transmitted to the apostles and his successors for the salvation of men and the edification of the Church, because Christianity itself is founded on the historical realization of salvation. Otherwise, historicity would become only a changing dress, which a timeless myth takes on. As Christ is the consubstantial Son of the Father in the divine Trinitarian unity. End quote. Mueller is clearly not pleased with the status quo. He reminds us, and by extension, Pope Francis, with that dig in that last quote, that the papacy is not a vehicle for personal ambition or personal goals, and that historical titles should not be just cast aside, but rather that the papacy is to be Christ for all of humanity, for all people everywhere to see Jesus Christ and the vicar of Christ, to come home to him and love him and follow him in the Church because of the Pope. The papacy is not to be used for some other purpose. Needless to say, having two popes simultaneously does not do this justice, to put it mildly. If you're having trouble with that thesis that there are two popes, and again, It is only a theory or hypothesis. I recommend the book, The Secret of Benedict XVI by Antonio Socci, author of The Fourth Secret of Fatima. He painstakingly goes to great lengths to demonstrate that the intention of Benedict leaving the Petrine ministry was to have two popes. He may be wrong, which is why it is only a hypothesis, but if this is a question you've wrestled with, and you know, who is the real pope, and let's be real, who in the Catholic world hasn't wrestled with this, then I recommend picking that book up. You should be able to find it online fairly easily. It was published, I think, in 2018, so it should still be readily available in your typical online outlets. What do you think of this, though? Is Mueller right about the negative impact this is having on the church? Let me know your opinions in the comments, please, and as always, pray for the church. And, as usual, the letter is available again through a link on the sources blog at returntotradition.org. I'd like to keep things over there to not upset our lovely hosts. Anyway, thank you for listening. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.